Okay, so today we are up to Suresh Bimbav Sif Tes. So a couple of sort of quick topics to cover here. So if we're in the tour, so the tour here continues with his from the Rambam, where he says, Kitzem Alamdim, so how should you set this up? So the Rav Yoshev Bemedrish Berosh V'Tamidim Lesnim Ukafim Katara, that the Rebbe should be in the front, and everybody should sit around him like surrounding him. Why? So that they'll all be able to see him, and so that they'll all be able to hear him. Okay, so I'm not sure where the source is from that, but that's what the Torah says. It says, also, v'tamidu al karka. Now here, he then goes on and says that the Rebbe shouldn't sit on a chair and tamidim on the ground. Rather, everybody should be on the ground or everybody should be on chairs. I mean, they should all be equal. And then he says, Varishona haya Rav Yosheva tamidim odim. And originally, the Rav would sit and the tamidim would stand. And before the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, so Nagu Hakol Lamed, the Tamidim, then they would sit down. Ve'im Haya Harav Mulamed, Mitiv, the Tamidim Mulamed. Then it gets into the Rebbe and the Turgamon, but okay. But what's the story with the standing and the sitting? So I think more than being a halachic point, it is a important, interesting hashkafic point that seems to be being made here. So where does he get this from? Why is this a halacha that either everybody stands or everybody sits? So it comes from a Gemara Maseches Moed Katan. So if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef quotes this Gemara. It says Nira Shalomet Kain. It appears that where is he getting this from? From the fact that it says it in Perek Elu Megalchim, the Chol Kama Dehava Ira Hayiri. So there was this Ira Hayiri who seems like he was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. That he would teach to the Rabbanan while sitting on these pillows. Kinach Nafshe, when he died, have a Masni David the Rabbanan, so then David took it up, and David started teaching the Rabbanan, and he would sit on the ground. So Amrulay, they said to him, Lesiv Mara Karmuksaso, so they said to David HaMelech, Nu, you're the Rebbe now, you can sit on these pillows. So Lo Kabel, he didn't accept him, and he didn't do that. So mi'achar she David lo kabel aleha. So therefore, because David didn't accept this kavod, ein l'shum rav litul atar liachnu. So the rav, no rav should take this tara for themselves. Leishiv al karam uksasos v'tamidav al gavi karka, and to sit on the pillows while those tamidim are sitting on the floor. Okay, so that is that's source number one with regards to this din, that the Rebbe shouldn't be in a different position than the Talmidim are. So the Beis Yosef continues on, and he says, he quotes as well from the Gemara Maseches Megillah, that's the next little section here, that where does the Bereish Perek HaKoreis HaMegillah, in the beginning of that Perek in Maseches Megillah, I guess, the third parak. So Amar Rabbi Abahu, Minayin L'Rav Shelo Yashav Al Gavi Mita V'Yeshel Tamidim Al Gavi Karka. He actually quotes the source from this. From where do we get the idea that the Rebbe shouldn't sit on the floor and teach to the Tamidim Al Gavi Karka, that they're on the, that the Rebbe shouldn't be on the bed and Tamidim on the floor? So Shneemar V'Yatapo Amod Imadi, that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to stand here with me. That implying that we're going to be the same, that I'm going to stand and you're going to stand and we're both going to stand together. So Tanu Rabbanan, it continues. I mean, Yamos Moshe v'Ad Rami Gamliel lo hayu lamdim Torah el umat. That from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu until Rami Gamliel, so they used to only learn standing up. Mishemes Rami Gamliel yarad. When they got up to Rami Gamliel, so they sat down. Yarad choli liolam. That illness or weakness came to the world. And they started sitting down. And that's what it means. That when Baruch Gamliel died, so on that list in the end of Masechta Sotah, where it lists all these Tanayim, what happened after they died, so on that list is Batla Kavodat Torah, that at the end of Rabbi Gamliel. That's what it means, because at that point, they stopped everyone standing for the Torah, but rather sitting. But that doesn't seem to imply that they were different. That was from the Gemara and Megillah, that seemed like they specifically should be the same. So the Ran in Maseches Megillah, the next section of the Beis Yosef here, so the Ran in Maseches Megillah points out, Umakshu Hacha Bahamrin, what about the Perek HaPolim? So there it says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Habu Yasvi, Asaf Saliv, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Habu Yasvi, Kamayhu. That they were sitting on the chairs, and these other Tanayim were sitting in front of them. It sounds like on the ground. On the ground. And then the first parak of Masechta Sanhedrin also seems to talk about that. And Yavna Hayar Baim, Vishimon Atimani Hayadon Lisnei, that there are these four in Yavne, and Shimon and Tami would judge in front of them on the ground. I guess tell them to be on the ground. Not sure who's doing what. But it sounds like they're, again, on different levels. And also this idea from the time of David, where it said that David only sat on the ground. So if it's coming from a pasuk, meaning, okay, great, so it stopped being that way. But if it's coming from a pasuk, meaning if we're trying to follow the model of Moshe Rabbeinu with Hashem, that Hashem, so to speak, stood while Moshe was standing there. In fact, the Gemara also points out that there's a pasuk that seems to imply that Moshe sat, and that's actually what's driving the Gemara to have this distinction. So which one is it? Should you be equal or should we not be equal? So Yesh Lomer Dechi Hechi Demetartzin Megemara. So the Gemara answers in Maseches Megillah, Ruchus Me'umad, Rakos Me'umad, Kashus Me'yushav, that when it was easy, they would stand, and when it was more difficult, they would sit. So too by these other things that I Hachinami Bishmos Kashus Hayoshvin Asasli Shimayu Yoshvin Bekarka Im Tamidim Lo Ayu Yichol Ma'ayim Behem, that they would sit on the chairs or on the couches when they were learning more difficult things, because they were sitting on the floor they wouldn't be able to do it well. Inami or Kan Kodem Shegiu Lechal Smicha Kan La'achar Shenismicha, or maybe the answer is that one is before they receive smicha and one is after they receive smicha, meaning this idea that they should be on the same level, that's when you're teaching smicha students or post-smicha students, those that have already achieved a certain status. Before they've achieved that certain status, so then the Rebbe could be on a different level from the Talmidim. So those are the two answers that the Beis Yosef gives. On one hand, that when you're dealing with hard things versus not so hard things, and the second one is smicha students versus non-smicha students.
So the only issue that they have to be on the same level? Because if everybody's standing,
yeah,
is good, everybody's sitting is good. And
that's the implication, yeah. That they needed to have everybody on the same level. So this is really going on the next section. Okay, we don't have to do this guy. I don't really want to get into the Torgoin issue, but okay, fine. So that's enough with regards to tests and the Beis Yosef. So how do we paskin here? So both of those excuses actually make it onto the page in Shulchan Aruch. So if you go to the Shulchan Aruch here, hold your place here. I think we're going to come back. Yeah, but hold the place there. But the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Mem Vav Siftes, so he says, Ketam Elamdin, so Rav Yoshe Barosh, V'tamidim L'fanav, V'kafam Katar. They should all be surrounding him. Why? Because they should kulam ro mesarav v'shom advar. So they'll all be able to see the Rebbe, and they'll all be able to listen to him. So just with regards to that, before we get to the one sitting and one standing, so the Gemara in Horios, I know it was coming from someplace, the Gemara in Horios learns this idea out from, it's not quoting the Beis Yosef for some reason, but has this idea and says that it's based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, that you einecha rosis merecha, that your eyes should be able to see the Rebbe. And why is that? So that, A, you won't have any hesach adas, you won't look into space. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is, to be able to understand exactly what he's saying. Because very often, if you just hear the words, and you don't see the nuances in his voice, or the nuances in his eyes, or the nuances in the way he is looking at things in different ways, so that could also give you insight into what the Rebbe's talking about. So one possibility is just, in order for you to pay better attention. Or the second possibility is in order so that you know what he's talking about. In fact, coming back to me. What?
Paying attention and knowing what he's talking about, that's the same.
No, that's the same thing. One is talking about so you don't daze off. If you're present in front of them, so you won't, hopefully the Talmud will pay better attention. The second one is if you look close, because that's part of what the Rebbe is teaching, it's not just in the words that he says, but in the way that he's saying it. And those are perhaps only things that you could pick up on if you're watching him, as opposed to just listening on Wayutara. If there was a symposium last Sunday, I believe, that was advertised very much, why you had a panel about Torah in the next 21st century. So Shechter spoke, which I didn't find yet on Wayutara, and then there was like this panel of people speaking after him about their thoughts. So this is, of course, one of the topics, the benefits of learning from Wayutara as opposed to making sure that one has a Rebbe and making sure that go to Shirim live and things like that.
there's some advantage to having it on the tape. You can go back and leave us
and stuff. Being embarrassed to ask the Rebbe is actually we'll get to that. So anyway, that's issue number one that appears in this idea in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody should be able to have a view. Next, the Shulchan Aruch continues on and says, "Velo yeshiv harav al kisiv tamid aval karka." It shouldn't be that the Rebbe sits on a chair and the tamidim on the ground. Ela oha kol al aretz oha kol al kraus. Either everybody on the ground or everybody on chairs. So the Ramah then adds in here, however, one of the answers of the Beis Hillel. He says, "V'yish shomrim dafka kishegiu tamidim l'chal smicha." This is only if the tamidim have actually achieved a level of smicha, have already achieved a level of independency, but independence. But until they have reached that, so yeah, the Rebbe could be considered on a higher level as opposed to the tamidim. That would be, it sounds like that would be okay according to that answer of the Ramah. The Shach, however, here adds in Va'od Machali Karan that the Ran has a different chiluk, an additional chiluk, the Bishmuos Rakos Yamdu HaTamidim Uvakashos. Uvakashos Yashru, that is for the Shach in Tess. So the Shach says, right, the Bishmuos Rakos, for easy things they would all, everybody would stand, but for more difficult things they would sit down. So that they and then he quotes from the Ein Yaakov Perek HaKori Omed Kasav Dechashayu Shonim Hayu Kulan Omdim Shelo Hayu Tzrichim Ledachik, that when they were learning, they would all stand because they didn't have to be so careful about the Svara Shehim Tzrichim Ledachik. But when they have to be very careful, they have to try to figure out exactly what it meant. So then the Rebbe would sit down, everybody would stand around him. Pamim Shayu Kulam Yoshim, and sometimes everybody would sit. Now, specifically when they'd have to work very hard with regards to the halacha. Of course, now, modern days, it seems more likely that the Rebbe stands and everybody else sits. That's the most likely scenario, which doesn't seem to be discussed here in Shulchan Aruch.
You see the old pictures of the Rav, and he's sitting and all the students are around him. He sat when he gave shir.
Yeah. The I think the most famous picture of the Rav is him standing and everybody else sitting. It's him giving in the middle of shir with everybody around him. Right, that there are kefets in that picture. So that picture, he is everyone sitting, he is standing. Rav Shechter always sat, but I don't know if that in the Gemara shir, Rav Shechter always sat. He never stood up in shir, except for once in a while to write something on the board, but that was pretty rare. Yeah.
One of the really standing comes from the secular culture. See, the teachers in school stand usually, and kids sit.
Right.
It goes that way up through college, usually, in medical school.
Okay.
Could be that's an influence. Of the,
it could be. Yeah. Okay. So then you get up to Yud. So is there... Yeah, okay. It's just really a quote out of the Torah. So we can just stay here. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Harav shelimed v'lo hivinu ha-tamidim." If the Rav is teaching and the Tamidim don't understand, lo yichus aleim. He shouldn't get angry with them. El shon v'kozer adavar kama pamim. But he should go back over it several times. Ad she yavinu omek halacha, until they understand the depth of the halacha. Lo yomer ha-talmud hivanti v'hu lo haven. And nor should a Talmud say understand when he doesn't really understand. Elishol v'chozer v'shol kam pamim. Rather, you should ask again many times. V'michus lav rabo. And if the Rebbe gets angry with him, so yomer lo, he should say, Rebbe, Torah hi, v'lamadcha nitzarech, v'day tikaseir. He says, what do you want from me? It's Torah. I want to learn, and I'm dumb. I'm not so smart. So I need you to continue to explain it. You shouldn't be afraid to continue to explain it. So the... So he quotes here from the from Rabbeinu Yonah that there is a comment. The Beit Yosef quotes this din. Actually, in the next halacha, continues this. Let's do Yud Aleph, where he says, "V'lo ye haTalmud boshmi chavero shulamim b'pam rishon oshniya." Nor should a Talmud be embarrassed that his friend learned it the first or second time. V'hu alamad, and he doesn't even learn it afilu achar kamapamim, and even after many times, he doesn't understand why. Shim nizbayish midavar zep, so he's embarrassed from this. Nimsa nichnas v'yotzi lebeis medrash. V'hu lo lamad klum. It's going to turn out that he comes and goes from the base medrash. He doesn't understand anything, or he doesn't learn anything. V'alkein amru lo habayshan, and therefore we say the habayshan, the one who is embarrassed, doesn't learn. Or is not going to be able to learn. That is a quote from Pirkei Avos. And Pirkei Avos, in the second parak, there it is. It says a bishan shouldn't learn, v'lo hakapta melamid, nor should a rebbe who gets angry easily, nor should he be the teacher. So then b'medvar v'amurim, however, shelo hivinu hatamidim hadavar mifnei amko. Now, however, when is this? It doesn't let the Talmud off the hook always. It is only if the Talmud isn't understanding it because it's so deep. Mifnei daitan shikatsera, because his das is so, you know, he's not able to grasp. About inikar l'rav shehem misrashlim b'divrei Torah, but if he sees that they're just being lazy, right, umisrapim aleihem, and they're... They're weakening themselves though. They're just like not putting it all their all. The lefichach lo hivinu, and that's why they're not understanding it. So then chayv lichos aleihem. So then he should get angry with them, ulhachlimum, and embarrass them bedvarim, because they lechadron in order to shake him up. V'alze amru zerok mara b'tamidim. And then this is said that you would throw bitterness with the tamidim. Lefichach ein roi l'rav lino kalos rosh v'fnei tamidim. The rebbe shouldn't make jokes. V'lo lischak b'fneihem nor make jokes. He shouldn't be lightheaded, nor should he make jokes. Lo lechov lishna, nor should he eat or drink with them. Tishtehe maso mutelas aleihem, but yilmu mimenu mehera, so that they would, so that the fear would be upon them, and they'll learn from him quickly. I mean, the Rebbe is required to impose some amount of fear upon his tamidim, so that they will be nervous, that they will understand. And of course, one could ask Rabbi Cohen for the stories of the fear that tamidim had before they entered into the Rav Shir. There's also another story, I think not as well known. Did you have the Rav's brother in college?
No.
He had a brother who was, I think, the chemistry teacher at
NYU.
No,
he passed away around college, taught
at
NYU.
Uh-huh, okay. Shmuel.
The Rav had lost most of his relatives in like 1 year.
Right, he was one of those.
His wife and his mother.
Uh-huh, in so 70, in the early 70s.
I saw you in 67, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think it was around that time. He was in college already when I got there.
Uh-huh. Okay. So he has a brother who
Samuel,
who was, I think, younger than. I think Rav was the oldest, and there was him, then there was Rav. Rav was much younger. And then there were two daughters, girls also, I think. Meiselman and...
Yeah, probably, I don't know.
And I feel like there's one more that I'm not remembering right now. But I think him, so a lot of the Tamidim of the Rav used to hang out with this Dr. Shmuel to find out all the stories about what it was like when he was younger. And apparently the most prominent story was that he said that his father was known for being very tough. Rav Moshe was known for being very tough on his boys. And he said the reason why he became the Rav and I became a chemistry teacher is because after he would teach something, So he would say, "Nutz, do you understand?" And I would say, "Yes," because I was, afraid. And my brother would say, "No, I don't understand." And my father would yell at him, and he'd slap him, and he'd beat him up, and he'd continue to yell at him. But he didn't care. He would make sure that he would understand. And I didn't. I was afraid of getting beaten up and being yelled at. So I'm the chemistry teacher, and the Rav ended up being the Rav. Hmm?
That's not so bad.
Right, not so bad either. Right, all right. But he became the Galador, and I'm not. I think that's the way the Rebbe Rekefet tells over the story. Also, this issue here of the idea of chayev lichos aleihem, that you're obligated to get angry with him. So this is invoked in that Shuv of the Chavos Yair. We did this a couple of simanim ago. I think it's quoted, but it's quoted elsewhere. But the Chavos Yair is it's also quoted at the end of the Sefer Chavetz Chaim. But the Chavos Yair asks about all of these times in the Gemara where Amorayim were mocking other Amorayim, or Tanaim were like that. You see some of the languages in the Gemara, and what you get, it's like quite disturbing sometimes. In fact, somebody gave me a book. Someone wrote a book where they collected all of these.
Yeah,
I have it on my shelf.
Oh,
I talked about Shalosh.
Yeah,
this Shuv al-Chavos is right. So it's called Rabbinic Curses, and there he quotes the Chavos Yair at length. The Chavos Yair goes through all these things, and he gives a couple of, I don't know, apologetics or excuses or, you know, nemes, where he said that some of the times were just a sharp ara, but some of the times were this. Some of the times there was a frustration, and he didn't think the other person was paying attention so well, so he had to insult them and yell at them in order to get their attention. That's one of the permissible times that it should be done. Of course, it has to be done delicately, and maybe today Rebbe might want to not be so quick to do that, and every generation has to work for what works in each generation. But the Chavos Yair quotes this famous Shuv of the Chavos Yair quotes this halacha in Shulchan Aruch as perhaps being one of the dispensations for when that type of activity would be permitted. Yeah, and there is, I didn't quote, but the Beis Yosef quotes part of this out of the Gemara in the Sefes Erevin, where it talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu taught everybody, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron, and then he taught the Zekinim, and then his children, there's four, Aaron's sons, and then the Zekinim, and then Aaron took over and taught so what was going on there? So the Rebbe, so Moshe, this is the Makor that you see, that a Rebbe might be required to teach it over multiple times in order to ensure that the Tamidim are able to understand. Fine. And then one more halacha that we'll quote for tonight in Yud Beis. Yud Beis and Yud Gimel actually also go together. Some of them are sourced in some of these halachos are sourced in the Beis Yosef, and some of them aren't. But also, even the Beis Yosef, he really just alludes to the Gemara. He doesn't quote it, so therefore we can just do it in the Shulchan Aruch itself, where it says, "Ein sholin es harav kishiyachanis lebeis medrash miyat," that you shouldn't ask a Rebbe questions as soon as he comes into the Beis Medrash. Actually, it's Yashiv Daito. Let him chill a little bit first. Let him get his bearings before you ask him. Similarly, veina talmud shol kishiyachanis ad sheis yashiv. Also, the Talmud himself shouldn't ask right away when he comes in. Rather, he also should calm down a little bit first. Ve'ein sholim shnayim ke'achad, nor should two people ask like at the same time. Ve'ein sholim es harav mi'inyan acher, nor should one ask the Rebbe from something else. Ela me osu inyan shehem oskim bo, except for that which he is involved in at that time. K'dei shelo yisbay, so that he won't be understood, so that he won't be embarrassed. So there actually is a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos where that spells this out, that in the very beginning of Maseches Shabbos, that's Gimel Amud Beis, at the top of the page, so they're having some discussion there, and there's a question, and he answered it, but Rav Chia said to Rav Chia, I believe, was Rav's uncle? Rav Chia, it's Rav Yehuda Nasi, Rav Chia, and then Rav's. And Rav is the borderline from tonight's Tom Narayim. So I think Rav was asking Rav Yehuda something. Yeah, that was asking Rabbi Yehuda Nasi something. That's what it is. Kikai Rabbi Bahai Masechta Lo Tishai B'Masechta Achrina. So he asked him a question, and Rabbi answered it. But Rabbi Chia took him aside and gave him Musar and said, you know, if Rabbi's involved in this Masechta, don't ask him from a different Masechta. If he's not holding there, so then you're going to embarrass him. So there actually is an injunction only asking about specific Shilas. So the Tzitzki Chuvas points out and says, well, what if you happen to have a Shila in another Masechta right now? He said, well, you know, I'm giving shiurim right now in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so that's it. No Basar Machal of Shailas. I'm off, are off limits for now. So he says, yeah, that's only when it comes to issues in learning, meaning issues that aren't L'maisa. But if the issue is L'maisa, so then obviously somebody has a Shaila, he asks the rabbi, and the rabbi's got to figure out what it is.
So, can I tell you a story about some rabbi he got word that they were going to ask him about Upton? Do you remember that story? Which is some obscure topic. And I forget who it was.
The story in the Gemara like that? I vaguely remember that there was a story in the Gemara like that.
Somebody let him know that they were going to ask some questions on Upton, and then
he was able to figure out. Okay. Maybe it was for like a test where he had to know more things.
It's the same kind of thing.
Right. But it's also a difference, I believe, also a difference in halacha versus a difference in like the ins and outs of a sugya. I mean, to go up to somebody and start to contact them, maybe on machlokas, Machlokas Rambam and Ravid on this night, so a person needs to be able to get their bearings on it first. But a Shaila that's in Halacha, so that would be appropriate. And perhaps also, I didn't see it quoted anywhere, but the idea of that Shloshim Yom Kodum L'Chag, this idea of 30 days before Pesach, or perhaps before other Moedim as well, so you're allowed to ask the Shailas at that point, right? So what's that talking about? So I think two things. Number one is, A, that's when it's L'maisa, so he's required to answer at that point. And B, one can assume that the Rebbe's involved. I mean, he shouldn't be. He can't. The Rav has no excuse at that point to say, "Oh, I'm not learning Sachem right now." No, if it's 30 days before Yontif, so then it's his responsibility to make sure that he's being involved in that sugya at that time. There's others say that's part of the. There's three things that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about: Sechta, Bepuria, and the other one. He's allowed to, about where he stayed over the night before, about where he ate, and B, what he's learning. So what's pshat in that? So the idea of where he stayed over, that's about someone found sheets with Zeron, so he doesn't have to admit that he had relations with his wife. That's what that's going about. The food is in order to protect the balabas. Right, in order to that not everybody goes to this person in order to get some place to eat, so he's allowed to conceal where he was able to get a meal. And the third one is mesechta. What exactly does that mean? So it could mean along these lines that he doesn't have to admit. If someone asks him a shayla, he knows the answer to, he's got to answer it. But if someone asks him, oh, hey, are you holding in such and such mesechta? And even if he is, he's allowed to. He doesn't have to respond in the positive. He's allowed to maintain his humility and say, I'm not holding in and all those other things. Okay, but on the other hand, he adds, he says, "V'yesh l'rav l'hatos es ha-talmidim b'sheilos up." However, the Rebbe is allowed to ask the talmidim shailas, knowing that they're not going to trip him up, and attempt to trip him up. And the Beis Yosef quotes Gemara in Brachos to that effect, where Rabba was the Rebbe of Abaye, and also was also the generation before Rava. So Rabba would ask things to Abaye, knowing that Abaye wouldn't have the answer, but in order to sharpen the mind of Abaye. So that is a permitted activity. Also in order things to do in order to sharpen them, in order to know if they remember what they learned, in order to give them bechina. And certainly you could ask them something which they're not involved in order to bring that. So Rebbe gets up in front of a shir in order to say, hey, anybody know about this halacha? So that's appropriate. That's okay. But for a Talmud to turn around and ask the Rebbe, do you know this? So there, perhaps it's questionable how appropriate that is. And then Sifyut Gimel, ain't sholim u'umad, ain't mushivim u'umad, that you shouldn't ask standing, and nor should you answer standing. And then, but the Rama says, no, v'yishem k'sholim davar halacha tzarech lamed, that you should dafka, should be standing. So the base, the Pesach Meshuvah says here that they're not arguing. Where was it here? Mumur Eli, right? That they're not arguing. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about where you're asking the base medrash, Derech Pilpul, just having a discussion, and then you should sit down because it's a discussion that requires sitting. It's a confusing thing, and we said before that one should sit while doing confusing things. In which no gail axel, so then in that case it's appropriate to stand, perhaps as a form of like compulsive Torah, that kind of thing. You shouldn't stand from high up or from far away, or from behind other people, nor should you ask more than three halachos at a time. You shouldn't like rattle off three different things. Rather, it should be, here he says it's only if you're asking Baal Peh, meaning it's confusing for him to be able to answer all of them. In that way, you can only remember a few at a time. But if you're writing a shaila to somebody and sending it off, so then, of course, you can ask several questions at once, but we'll have the list in front of him as to what he wants to answer. Okay, so we didn't have that much time today to prepare. Something serious came up, but we will stop here and pick up next week.